This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, my name is Jeroen Lenens and I've been developing software for over 18 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I've been running the Dutch CocoaHeads for close to 8 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about automatically switch to build log, 4 Xcode shortcuts to get back your screen space, the jump bar in Xcode, implementing drag and drop for collection view, SwiftUI swipe actions, unit testing, the pragmatic guide on where to start, async await in Swift explained with code examples, modern concurrency in Swift introduction, cooperative task cancellation, Swift actors tutorial, a beginner's guide to thread safe concurrency, copy on assignment versus copy on write in Swift, fixing a hard to find bug in dark mode, and how to fix macho header code 0x72613C21 when you try to export your app in Xcode. So as you can notice, that's a lot that we need to talk about. But there's a reason for that, and you might have noticed that if you listen to my podcast every episode. There's been something different over the past 2 weeks, and that's been because I was on vacation for 2 weeks. So I pre-recorded all my stuff for the past 2 weeks and published it right before my vacation, scheduled everything, and then went my merry way and enjoyed some time off with my family. I hope you enjoyed my vacation as well, as much as I did, because the content was still coming. But the only drawback is that I have like a ton and ton of links to go through. And after my first selection, I ended up with 22 links, and I've been able to reduce those to the 13 links that I just mentioned. Before we dive in, I really want to do a big shout out to Chris Jackson. He's a PodFan member on my pod.fan page. And he thinks my podcast is awesome and he wants to support my work. And if that's something that you would like to consider as well, have a look at my PodFan page, pod.fan/appforce1. Have a look there and you will get early access to my recordings with interview guests. And it can be a couple of weeks before I can actually publish an interview. At the moment, I already have 2 interviews in raw format available, and by the end of this week there will be 2 more that will be available in raw format as well, and that will be cleaned up and published at a later date. So just to get things started, let's dive into a section of a few Xcode tips. The first article is by Dasdom, automatically switch to build log. One often overlooked feature of Xcode are behaviors. In his article, Dasdom will go into more detail about behaviors and how he can use them in his daily workflow with Xcode. In his first article on this topic, he already has a nice little tip that allows you to switch to the build log when you actually create a build, so that you don't have to navigate to those areas yourself. But of course, there's a lot more to these behaviors, and have a look at his article and then have a look in Xcode. And I think there are some settings in there that you might like to enable or specifically even disable. The second article I want to talk about is by Sarun, 4 Xcode shortcuts to get back your screen space. And working on Xcode without an external monitor is a nightmare. It's specifically the nightmare of Sarun. The screen resource is a limited one on a MacBook, and many parts of Xcode try to take a lot of space on your screen. So he has a screenshot of how an Xcode project might look on a MacBook. And in this article, Sarun would like to share 4 Xcode shortcuts that you can quickly press to get back some screen space. So these are the shortcuts to toggle the debug area, the navigator area, the inspector area, and the focus editor. Have a look at his article to figure out what these key commands are, and two of these I actually use day to day, and I'm trying to get some muscle memory for one or two more of these shortcuts that Sarun has mentioned, because they're very convenient, and once you have them in your workflow, you can just work in Xcode and grab back some screen space when you need it. The third article is called The Jump Bar in Xcode. It's also an article by Dustdom. And this is something that I use for one specific area as well. That's the Control 6 shortcut. Try it in Xcode right now if you can. Or remember to try it when you get back at your machine. But Dustdom goes into a number of other shortcuts that are based on the Control 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 type. So apparently there's a lot of cool features in the jump bar that you can just access by pressing Control and then a numeric key. Look at the article by Dustdom and see if there's something in there that can really improve your workflow and make using Xcode a little bit more convenient for you. Now, the second batch of articles that I want to mention are more in the area of UI development. The first article I want to mention in this area is Implementing Drag and Drop for Collection View. Philip Nemeczek has written an article on implementing drag and drop for collection views. While he was working on SwitchBuddy for iPad, he got the idea for drag and drop, which would allow users to open the app with files, for example, side by side, and then drag images from his app to the files app. So he discovered that getting basic drag and drop to work is not complicated. And in his article, he will show you the minimum implementation that you need to do to get drag and drop to work so that you have a starting point to develop upon. Next up is Keith Harris with his Use for Your Loaf blog. He has a similar article as Philip Nemeczek, but then on the specific topic of SwiftUI swipe actions. Apple added table row swipe actions to UIKit back in iOS 11. In iOS 15, they come to SwiftUI, and in his article, he showcases how you can actually use these actions, these swipe actions, in SwiftUI in iOS 15. So it's an iOS 15 specific API that you're dealing with, but it's so convenient and so easy to add swipe actions to your cells that it's just too good not to try. And then onwards to the next topic, that's on unit testing. It's an article by Marina Kornosteva. It's called Unit Testing, the Pragmatic Guide to Where to Start. Oh, sorry, I should correct myself. Unit Testing, the Pragmatic Guide on Where to Start. So when you decide you want to start unit testing your code in your project, you might be working alone or in a small team, and you might feel a bit uncertain on where to start, because unit testing is a very broad topic, and there's a lot of things that you have to consider and that you actually need to get familiar with to be able to start doing unit testing in some meaningful form. The article by Marina is specifically for you if you want to get started with unit testing. There are many great resources about testing, and what Marina has done is create an article with a step-by-step guide on things that you need to consider when you want to start unit testing in Xcode. So there's a little bit of practical things that you need to do, some references to resources that are very worthwhile to spend some time on and to read before you actually dive in. And also the basics on how you need to configure your project to be able to do unit testing on your project. And then there's also some advice on when, where, and how you should run your test. So that involves basic GitHub actions, for example, or other CI solutions that you can do to actually run your unit test. So it's a very wide-ranging article that is a good preparation if you want to get started with unit testing. And even me, who's done a lot of unit testing over the years already, I was able to pick up a couple things that I've forgotten about and to just be reminded on some things on why you actually want to do unit testing. So very recommended that you read this article. And then there's the next big topic, and that's the async await actors stuff. I have a couple of articles in this area. The first one is by Antoine van der Lee. He has an article called Async Await in Swift Explained with Code Examples. It's a very practical article, a type of article that you should be familiar with if you read articles by Antoine more often. And it's a very convenient overview. You can just casually read this, look at some code, maybe try out some of the statements and just get some familiarity what Async Await can do in Swift for you. So a very thorough read again by Antoine, and I must say that his article's been like really hitting it for me over the last couple of months. So if you want to get some familiarity with async await, definitely have a read on the article by Antoine. And then there's, on the same topic pretty much, modern concurrency in Swift, an article series by Andy Ibanez. He's been working on this for a while. He recently updated it to the latest beta of Xcode, and he already is, let me look that up, he's already 6 articles in with writing about modern concurrency in Swift. So he has a number of articles, and I will link to the landing page, the introductory article that links to all the other articles. So he has articles on understanding async await in Swift, converting closure-based code into async await, structured concurrency in Swift, structured concurrency with group task, introduction to unstructured concurrency, and unstructured concurrency with detached tasks in Swift. So if you read Antoine's article and you feel like you're ready to really dive in and get some familiarity with the more involved concepts, go to the blog of Andy, and he will have everything that you need to really take a deep dive in concurrency in Swift, or the new concurrency in Swift, I should say. On top of that, there was one article that I wanted to add as well. It's an article by Peter Vriese that's called Cooperative Task Cancellation. Of course, if you're running concurrent tasks, you need some way to actually cancel those tasks sometimes. Maybe because the user does a cancellation, or something happens with another task that causes that all the other asynchronous tasks are, well, not useful anymore. You want to save some battery and stop this execution from continuing. In his article, Peter dives in on how you can actually do a task cancellation on tasks that are related to each other and that you want to stop if something fails or something needs to be stopped. It's another one of those articles that you never knew that you need this until you actually do, and then you just want to know how you should do it. And this article tells you how. Just to top things off on the concurrency spectrum, I also have an article by Tibor Bodec. It's an article called Swift Actors Tutorial, A Beginner's Guide to Thread-Safe Concurrency. I just wanted to add this article by Tibor because he has such a cool lava graphic at the top of the article. Well, not just that, but also because it's such a great article in itself, which explains a little bit on why you want to be concerned with things like thread safety and data races. It's not something that's really explicitly mentioned in the previous articles, but Tibor gives a nice addition on top of these previous articles that really will round out your knowledge on threading and concurrency in Swift. So it's a bit more of a deep dive in the basics of concurrency and thread safety, because Grand Central Dispatch is mentioned and some things related to that. But it's a really a solid article to round out your knowledge on concurrency and threading and such topics on the iOS platform, or any Swift-related platform, really. And then the final articles I have for you are 3 articles that are really liked. They're a bit out there, but I just enjoyed reading them so much. The first one is by Ayman Fayez. It's copy on assignment versus copy on write in Swift. It's a technical explanation of what the difference is between these two ways of assigning memory in the Swift runtime. Copy on assignment and copy on write is something that is very familiar if you have a more functional background in the sense of functional programming. But Swift, because it has some functional programming characteristics, it's good to know about these concepts of copy on assignment and copy on write, because it really allows you to understand why certain things work in a certain way in Swift. So it's a fun read, some code examples, and really some stuff to really think about when you are just writing some Swift code. And then there's an article by Jesse Squires, Fixing a Hard-to-Find Bug in Dark Mode. I include in this article because it's a well-written overview of strange behavior that Jesse has observed when using dark mode. And he seems to have spent a ton of time on figuring out what was going on with this bug. But he is able in his article to really bring things down to basics and give a concise overview of what was going wrong, why it was going wrong, what the behavior of the bug was, and how he was able to fix it. And the last one article is by Christian Tietze. It's called How to Fix a MachO Header Code, some long code, and when you try to export your app in Xcode. It is something that I ran into myself personally, and I just wanted to include this article because it pretty much saved my bacon like 2 weeks ago. I really ran into the same issue myself, and it just it struck a nerve with me because it was very close to me in my day-to-day work. So big shout out to Christian for this article. You really helped me out with this one. So I just wanted to share this this victory with everybody that's listening to my podcast. Okay, and then we're already back at Donnie's Monday morning tweet. I can really dive into it, but my episode is already quite long. I can give an overview. What I've noticed on all the responses that Donnie has been getting over the last 3 Mondays, I should say. Yeah, 3 Mondays, so that's today and the Mondays of the last 2 weeks, is that, again, people are releasing a lot of new app updates, but people are also really enjoying their vacations. I'm seeing lots and lots of pretty pictures of landscapes and fun poolside events, and people just enjoying themselves and traveling within limits due to the whole corona thing that we won't dive into that too much. But it's just great to see that so many people are taking the time during the summer to spend some time with their families and friends or other loved ones, and just basically just try and unwind a little bit after the craziness of the last 18 months. So that's really good. And I will dive into the Monday morning tweet by Donnie a bit more next week. So again, thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. And I'm already getting closer and closer to 100 episodes on my podcast, because this is episode 40, but I've also done a lot of interviews. And if you combine those together, then I'm already past 80 recordings that I published. So, seems to be going all right, this whole podcasting thing. So, talk to you again next week. And again, if you want to support my podcast, have a look at pod.fan/appforce1. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer, all one word.